Hi, this is Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to learn how to cache ASP.NET pages. So let's get started and create a sample website. Now we're going to create this website using Visual Basic for the demo, but when you download the sample source code, you can get it in C# as well. So we'll set up our little sample website here, and let's take our default ASPX page and just put a little bit of text on it, so when we fire it up in the browser, we'll at least have an indication that the page has loaded. We'll just put, how do I cache an ASP.NET page? So that's our simple little page. Let's just quickly run it. It should run. And we'll verify the page, and then we're going to go back and look at how we can put some caching in this page. Now this is a very simple page, just has some text on it, but the principles that we're going to cover here in the video would apply to any ASP.NET page you can create, even a complicated one where you have like a list view control that is bound to a set of data coming out of a database, images on the page, etc. So we'll go over the basic principles here, and then you can take the sample code and go off and apply it to a variety of pages on your own website. So let's get started in looking at how you do caching. Now there are different types of caching that you can do on an ASP.NET page. And let's start with the simplest form, and that is essentially what we want to do here is to say, okay, cache the entire contents of this page for a specific amount of time. And to do that, let's go up to the top of the page here, and there's a directive called output cache. And this is where you set the parameters which control caching of the page. So let's look here at the IntelliSense, and you can see there's a variety of parameters that we can set here. And in the simplest form of caching the entire page, what we want is to have a duration. Now this is in seconds, so let's say we'll cache the page for 30 seconds, and then you can set some other parameters here in this output cache that will control aspects of what causes the page to be flushed from the cache and regenerated. And at this point we're basically going to say the page just stays cached for 30 seconds. So vary by parameters means if there are input parameters in the query string to the page, if they change, then the page would be flushed from the cache. But to start out, we're just going to say none as a value for vary by param. And that's saying essentially just go ahead, cache the page for 30 seconds. And so simply by doing that and then loading up the page, if we go here and bring up the page, the first time the page is rendered, now it's very simple, so it comes up very fast, but on subsequent requests for the page, like if we refresh the page, it has been taken from the cache and as is just rendered down here to the browser, and that would continue to happen for the 30 seconds duration that we've set for caching this page. So again, the page comes right down. So now let's go back and let's add a little bit of complexity here to caching this page. So what we're going to do here is, in addition to saying, okay, cache the page for 30 seconds, we want to put a little more intelligence to this caching. And let's say we pass the NID value in on the as a query string variable to this page. And anytime that changes, we want to flush the page from the cache and have it regenerated. So let's just put a little label on this page. Just fill in the various attributes here. We won't put any text in the label. Let's go over here to the code behind, and we'll go to the load event for the page. And in here, what we want to do is to take that label, and we're going to set the text equals a query string value is. And then we're going to add to that. And let's say the query string variable is called ID to string, and so that's going to put it inside of our label. And let's just put a little test here. Let's say if not request ID. Oops, there we go. And let's just put that inside of this if statement. And that's just a little safety there to make sure that we have a value in our request ID. Now before we test this page, we have to go back over to default ASPX. And up here, this vary by param, what you do here is you have a common delimited list of the query string variables that you want to be monitored in relation to the caching. So in our case, it's called ID, so we'll put ID in there. What's going to happen now is the page is going to be cached again for 30 seconds. However, if the value of the ID value in the query string to the page changes, the page is going to be flushed from the cache and it would be reloaded. So what we should do now, let's just start this up. And initially, we have nothing in the ID value for the query string, so we just get the page without the label. So now let's go up here, and I had a couple in here before, so let's put a value of 3, and now we get 3 because it's picking up that the value of the ID has changed. However, if we just refresh the page, it comes right from the cache and has been sent right down to our browser again. However, if we go up here and we put, let's say, 5 in there, the value is different. Now we're still inside that 30-second cache window, and when we refresh the page this time, it sensed that the ID value changed from 3 to 5, and it re-rendered the page. And when it does that, it resets the duration, so now we're in another 30-second window. And if we refresh, it's that time didn't render the page going through all the page lifecycle events. It just sent the cache page right down here to the user's browser. So that's adding a little more robustness to our caching. In this case, we are using the query string value ID. So there we have caching based upon the query string value. Now another situation that people commonly run into is that, as you know, ASP.NET will render a page based upon the type of browser that the user is using. So if they're using, you know, IE7 or Firefox 3, what they'll get potentially is a slightly different version of the browser. And what you can also do with the caching is you can say, okay, continue to cache this if the browser remains the same. So if you have 5 people in a row that are using IE7 and they hit your site, they will all get the cached version of the page. However, if then the 6th person to hit your site has Firefox 3, they would get a completely rendered version of the page, and that would be put into a cache related to Firefox. So if another Firefox user gets to our page, say in 10 seconds, they would get the cached version of the page. Now to do that, up here in our output cache directive, what we need to add is this right here, vary by custom. And in here, what we need to do is put the word browser. Now this is a special value for vary by custom, which will cause this page to be cached dependent upon the type of browser. So again, if we fire up the page here in IE, and remember we still have the query string caching stuff going on in here as well. So we get the page, and if we were to fire up another IE, and let's just go back over here, we'll copy that, go over to essentially our new instance of IE come in, and again we get the cached version of the page. And that would be so on, even if we're doing it from one machine here, obviously on the local site, but if there were different people coming at your server, all using IE, using Firefox, etc., they're going to get this more intelligent caching based upon the browser that they're using. So let's just close this down, go back to our source code. So there are three of the main ways that you can control caching of a particular page. Now we've put this in the individual page, so if we have multiple pages in our site, we would have to put this into all of the pages. And if, for instance, you have a bunch of pages that all would need these specific parameters, there's a way you can do it a little more efficiently, and that is to put the information in the web.config file. So let's take a look at that. So let's open up the web.config file, and we want to set up what's called a cache profile. We'll do that down here in the system.web element. So we'll go to caching and we'll add that, and then we'll add a child element that's called the output cache settings, and inside that we'll add output cache profiles. And now we'll set up a profile, so we'll add, we'll give it a name, and we'll just call this the standard. And then inside of this, as you can see, there's several things you can set, and these match what's up there in that directive that we have on the page. So we'll say 30 seconds, and then down here, let's see, vary by param, that was ID, and then we also did the custom where we put browser. So this is, let's just call it standard cache to be a little more descriptive. Actually, standard cache 30. So that's pretty good. It's descriptive of what this does. So now we take the name of the profile and we go back over here to default ASPX, and I'm going to take everything that we have in here and delete it. And then notice that one of the items you can put here in the directive is called the cache profile. And as you might suspect, what we put in here is the name of the profile. So now we could fire up this page. In fact, let's just fire it up. And what we're going to get is the exact same behavior as before, but we've abstracted the definition of that cache out to the profile. So now if we go down and put our ID equals 3, refresh, we're getting from the cache. If we go back in and add 5, so now we're changing the ID value, then the page is re-rendered. It's not taken from the cache. The cache is reset to 30 seconds. So this is a pretty nice way to have different sets of caching, and you can reuse them across multiple pages and get a consistent behavior as far as the caching on which on those pages which this profile resides. And then you can always use the specific, you know, output cache values or attributes when you have a particular page that doesn't fit into a profile that you might use on multiple occasions. So that covers the fundamentals of caching on an ASP.NET page. And there are even finer degrees of control that you can have over an ASP.NET page, or even over the caching of user controls. And those are covered in some of the other videos here in this set. So I encourage you to download the sample source code that comes with the video. As I said, it's available in C# as well as Visual Basic. And you can use that as a basis for starting to implement caching in your own ASP.NET website. And then you can check out some of the other videos on caching to learn even more details that may help you as you get more familiar with how caching works and give you added benefits to caching in your own ASP.NET website. So this is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on implementing caching of pages in ASP.NET.